Welcome to the Around the Crease podcast. This is Mike Loveday, and this is going to be season 2, episode 1. And we're calling that because for the first time, I'm going to actually have a co-host on the Around the Crease podcast. So I'd like to introduce Tom Peace, the founder of the Peace Report Lax blog. You can find him on Medium at Peace Report Lax blog, and same thing on Twitter, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. But so welcome to the Around the Crease podcast. I'm very excited to have you on.
I'm very excited, Mike. This is what the fans and the people have wanted, is us to get reconnected again and talk lacrosse on a great show like this, and a great medium, and just to bounce ideas off of our and topics in this podcast off each other, and also talk and share people's thoughts on lacrosse, recruiting. Oh, you name it, we'll talk about it on this show, and it's a great time to get together and talk about lacrosse as the high school season's winding down and the club tournament showcase season is starting to heat up, and so this is a perfect time for us to start a show and talk, and you and I have been in this field for a long time covering lacrosse recruiting, and you're better two people to talk about it than you and I.
And for anybody who doesn't know, like I think, you know, more than a few people do, but, you know, obviously the high school audience changes every few years. But Tom and I actually worked together when I was the editor at ESPN's high school network, was ESPN High School. And I brought Tom on board after a few years, and we worked together for probably 2 or 3 years before ESPN collapsed, and but ESPN High School collapsed and started the first of their many, many layoffs down the road. So Tom and I have known each other for probably a decade now, give or take. So it is great to kind of have the band back together, so to speak, and be doing this. Like I'm very excited. So as far as like expectations, like what I'm most looking forward to out of the show is just when I did this, the first season of this, and it was about, I did it several months. I think I did about 36 episodes of it. And I usually had guests on, which we will still have. We'll still bring coaches and guests on, players and things like that, to talk. But it was just me, and it was doing it by myself. So, you know, I'd have the guests on as the rest of the show was just me. And for me, I always just kind of feed better off another person. So I'd actually tried talking to a few people about their interest on doing something like this. And people are busy. They got stuff to do. They got lives. It's hard to find another person that shares your vision and has availability to do this. So I was thrilled when I reached out to you and we have this. So I think we have a lot of ground to cover, and there's really no topic off limits that we can talk about a lot. Right. So that's kind of what I'm looking most forward to and kind of how I see it going. And we're welcome fan feedback. We're using the hashtag Around the Crease on Twitter. So if you use that hashtag, we will check a document that has those hashtags in it and pull out any questions that anybody has, any topics they want us to cover, anything like that. So
and we'll feel free to use hashtag Around the Crease. Sorry, Mike. I just wanted to disappoint that we'll be out at events this summer. That, like I alluded to earlier, it's now the summer showcase season here in the lacrosse world, and we'll be out and about at different various tournaments this summer. I will be, you'll be, and we'll try to talk to people at these events, kids, players, coaches, and include their feedback on the podcast each week, and have the fans, the players, the coaches be also the voice on the show each week, which will be a great aspect of the show.
Yes, definitely. And I should add in that Tom will be doing some writing on Lax Records. So really for the first time, and the site's been up for 4 years now, which is hard for me to believe. Actually, I think I have to look up the date, but I think July 14th is the 4-year anniversary of Lax Records. So for the first time, I will actually have a regular contributor other than me writing for the site. So obviously that excites me quite a bit. And so I think we're going to be doing a little bit different things than people are kind of used to at Lax Records. But 4 years old, it's time to grow up. We're heading off to school. We're learning new things. It is the perfect time, and I couldn't think of anything better than having you do that stuff. So I'm excited. I am thrilled. I'm going to keep saying that till it's not true, and it's not going to be not true for a while.
Well, Mike, like I was telling you just a few minutes ago, and You can see it on social media when we threw out a question this past week about recruiting, that people want to talk about lacrosse. They want to talk about recruiting. They want to share their thoughts. It's an interesting time in the sport. And so
it is.
Having you and I, two people that have been around the recruiting world of lacrosse for the last 10, 15 years, we want to talk with people, and we have some credibility here to talk about this stuff. And
exactly,
we're excited to have this podcast for the people, and it's going to be a great thing in the future. We're excited to kick this off in the summertime and hopefully take it into next season of the high school season, and just keep it going. And we just want to have everyone's feedback and just keep talking about this great sport that we're trying to grow each and every day. And I see we have a lot of stuff to talk about on today's show, Mike.
We do, and good tease for the recruiting stuff. We're actually going to touch on that a little bit later. But first, we want to get to a since it is the high school season, we're kind of wrapping up. Kind of want to touch on a couple topics. And since I do run Latch Records and I love the stats and the history of the game, one of the things I wanted to bring up is our most recent player of the week, the Latch Records player of the week, was Strathaven's Jeffrey Connor. And he is a kid. He is on fire right now during this time of the season. I don't have his point total right in front of me, but I think he's had almost like 30 points in the three games that Strathaven's played in the PIAA AA playoffs.
Right.
And last week he had 8 points in the opening round. I think he had 3 goals in the second round, but he was that clutch guy that when they needed a insurance goal, he was the guy that got it. And then last week, I think he had 5 or 6 or 7 points. I think it actually was more than that, but that was against Springfield Delco, which was the reigning 2-time champion.
Right.
They had won back-to-back titles. So he is just on fire. Virginia commit. I don't know if you've gotten to see him play or seen any highlights of
I believe
Jeff,
I interviewed him in the past.
He has had a stellar season because he started the year with about 280 points. So he hit 300 career points earlier this season. I believe it was in April. And then with his game last week, the playoff game last week where he scored, I believe it was 4 goals and an assist, that put him over 400 career points, which only 88 players that I'm aware of at this point have done that. So he's hit 2 pretty significant landmarks. And I think at last count, he's got about 156 points this season, which is his best season so far. So he just keeps getting better and better over time. And
I'm just looking. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, they play in their championship game this weekend. It's them and Bishop Shanahan for the title. And I think those are 2 of the hottest teams in Pennsylvania right now. So that's going to be one to watch for sure.
And I mean, just 23 games, he has 153 points, which is 23 more than his previous career high, which is pretty insane. He's averaging close to 7 points per game. And if you're Lars Tiffany, you're smiling ear to ear with this young man coming to Charlottesville next year.
Exactly, especially since he seems to be hitting his stride this year too. So he's obviously been improving every year. And then it's like the quality of competition. And you know, the numbers are great, but you look at the teams he's playing too, and the fact that he's doing some of this in the playoffs is, you know, that just shows like the kind of clutch performer he is. So he's been great. I'm looking forward to seeing that game, or at least following that game somehow this weekend, to see how that plays out. But you know, obviously, congratulations, Jeffrey, on earning player of the week, and good luck to all the teams, because there's a number of championships this weekend, including our next topic, which was West Genesee's Mike Messer. He's the all-time winningest coach. He's the only coach that has won over 800 games in his career, and I don't know if you could find a better way to cap your career than the way West Genesee has had this season. Tom, you may have the record in front of you, but they have reached the New York Class A championship game. And
right.
I don't know how many times they've reached it under his career, but he is basically West Genesee lacrosse. But he has 15 championship victories, going for number 16. I think this is probably one. I mean, the storybook would write itself if he actually goes out a winner. But I think to even make it to this point, this shows, you know, he has spanned. I mean, you think of all the generations that he's coached.
Oh, yeah.
And it just goes to show, I mean, you can say, like, you know, the players change and things like that. And, you know, maybe he doesn't know how to relate to today's youth versus the past. But I don't think any of that kind of bears any fruit when you look at the season they've been having.
They're 15-time state champs. They've reached their 24th New York State Public High School Athletic Association title game after beating Lancaster. And Coach Messier is, like you said, he's going to wrap up a fantastic career. And West Genesee is one of those teams where you're looking at the landscape of high school across in the country. They're right there in that ranking with the Boys Latins, the Gilmans, and the Calvert Halls down here. You got the Haverfords and PA. They're right there with all those schools in the country and the hotbed areas. And you're talking about a great head coach who's one of the best head coaches in lacrosse, in high school lacrosse, right up there with the Bob Shrivers of the world, you know?
Yeah. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes as well, but I actually got it was kind of one of the highlights of the season one of the podcast, is I got to interview Coach Messer. I think this before the start of not this season, but the 2017 season. And I got to talk to him a little bit about what it was like coaching for 30 plus years and what things he's noticed about, you know, the players and stuff like that. And he had fantastic insights. So I'm going to put links to that in the show notes for anybody who's interested in that part of the game. But he was fantastic. He was very generous with his time. Just a very interesting guy. And obviously he's forgotten more lacrosse than I think most people will ever learn in their career, considering the amount of time he's spent on a sideline and coaching players. I mean, you could go through his stats all day, how many All-Americans and just how many people that have graduated from that program and then gone on to coach themselves. Like, so it's going to be interesting. But another game to watch this weekend is that Class A title game in New York. So that's going to be, and I believe it's them and Ward Melville.
Right.
So, and Ward Melville won it all last year. It's another one of New York's most prestigious programs. So it's going to be an interesting, there's probably going to be some tears shed by some people, you know, win or lose in that game, because it's just going to be an emotional ride.
That's one of the things that, like we're saying with Mr. Connor, how he's playing against tough competition every game. So is that area up there in New York where Coach has to go up against like a team like Ward Melville and Niskayuna and Lancaster and all those powerhouses up there that just turn out talent each and every year. And so to have that, to leave the game with that, those milestones after coaching in that area of the country is remarkable.
Yeah, he's going to end up with not quite 850 career wins. They're up in the 840s. I think they have 17 or 18 this season, started the year with 826. So it's going to be, you know, he's got the numbers out the wazoo to talk about, but I think probably more, you know, he's just been a great coach, and the game's going to miss him. He's going to be one of those guys that it's going to be a little bit less with him not roaming the sideline anymore, and I know he will be very missed by the West Genesee faithful. And
yeah,
it's going to be weird not to see him on the sideline and see his name in the book next year. It's going to take some adjustment on my part. He's been one of those, been one of the consistencies through, you know, after all, like a bunch of the MIAA guys retired, it's like, all right, there's a number of coaches are still going around, but he spans way more. I'm sure he's, you know, more reporters have come and gone off that lacrosse beat up there than they could stand at this point.
Yeah.
So, but moving on, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about recruiting, and obviously, Tom, just to let everybody know in full disclosure, like, you do a little bit of recruiting for Hartford Community College.
Yeah.
So you obviously know quite a bit about this topic. And for me, I guess my expertise area is just in the fact that I interview a lot of coaches and I talk to a lot of coaches. I talk to a lot of parents and players. So, you know, I hear a lot about the pain points with the recruiting process, a lot of the complaints and, you know, perceived complaints and things like that throughout the process. But then I also hear from the college coaches. And so, like, and I've spent a few podcast episodes, and I can link to those, or you can find them in the feed about, like, the recruiting process in general. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off with this section, because I know you kind of kicked it off on Twitter with a question to everybody.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things that is happening right now in the game. And if you haven't heard, in the last year, the NCAA came down with a ruling that head coaches can't talk to players until their junior year of September of their junior year. and they can't reach out to them, they can't offer them, they can't do anything until then. And so it's changed the landscape, because we were in this period where kids were committing when they're about in eighth grade, and it was just right. One of those things. I was getting highlight tapes sent to me from seventh graders to post and on Twitter and stuff. So it was getting out of hand. The recruiting was out of hand, and the NCAA and people and with the coaches' committees for around lacrosse came together and just decided to put a date on it and stop the early recruiting process. And so now we had this now hard day for juniors. And so I asked parents and players this past week about what, if they've noticed a difference in the recruiting process, if they feel relieved and not stressed out anymore, if they have a child who's a sophomore or a freshman in high school. And you have a mixed bag of reactions from people I've talked to on Twitter. I put out that question, and people are saying that they feel that the stress level is down, but they're trying to, the hard part is to find which events to go to now.
Right.
In the summer recruiting circuit that is starting to take place this month and next month, where coaches will go to these events and recruit kids, and but they can't talk to them. But they can work it, like they can like coach them. There's some events where college coaches will come and instruct, but they can't like talk to them about like their school and stuff. It's right. it's so wishy-washy still, I think. But
I guess I come from a world where, you know, I started my kind of reporting career, like I covered high school football, and the rule was pretty similar in football. Like coaches aren't allowed to contact athletes until September 1st of their junior year. But you still get, I mean, it was just a few years ago, you had that kid from California that was like an eighth grader or seventh grader that committed to USC. And like the verbal commitment part can still, which basically, to be clear, that's really all it was before. Like, right. You know, when the kids were kidding in eighth grade, it was just a verbal commitment. There was no signing. They still couldn't sign
right.
Until their senior year to begin with. It was just, you got that. I guess it was the perception that all these kids are committing and the spots were being taken up.
Yes.
Which is really what put the pressure on. Like, you know, the kids were like, all right, you know, the kids committing, whether or not they were, you know, it was just, it was a lot of gray areas. And I think it was one of those, like, you got to keep up with everybody else. Like, oh, this kid's committing. And all of a sudden you hear, you know, Yale, or well, I guess Yale is a bad example being the Ivy League school, but like Duke already has like seven commits for the class of, you know, 2018. And here it was like 2014. And the perception is like, well, that class is filling up. So if I ever want to go to Duke to play lacrosse, like I better do it now or there's not going to be a spot. So you kind of got a lot of that. And I think with the coaches actually just coming down and being like, you know, we're just basically going to adhere to what, you know, the other major sports do with September 1st. Like it reduces a little bit of that. But I think the college coaches, they're still going to be aware of those kids. It's not like they're going to, you know, not start watching them. Like they're going to know who they are. It's just, I think that hopefully takes a little bit of the pressure off the player that they can adapt and, you know, work on their game rather than working on, you know, be like, oh, I'm a freshman or yeah, I'm heading into my sophomore year and I don't have a college that I've decided on yet. Like that was always the crazy part for me, was just thinking about, like, man, I wasn't thinking about college as a sophomore in high school. Like it wasn't, obviously I wasn't, you know, a high level athlete by any means, but
Let me share some of these tweets that were sent to us through some people that responded to the question I threw out. And here's Western New York Lacrosse, who said, "This definitely has been a difference. They've seen a more satellite prospect camps and single day combines with college coaches than ever before. Hmm. Coaches are eager in getting athletes on their radar before they are permitted in actually talking to them." He says he's received dozens of inquiries on stuff. And here's another parent said that he's a parent of a 2020 kid, which is a sophomore, right? And they wish they moved the date back to August 1st instead of September, to allow the multi-sport athletes to be able to visit interested schools in the summer, which is a good point that parent raises, is that these kids are playing multiple sports, and so it's tough for them to go to the school that they're interested in. And right. They don't even know if the school is interested in them to begin with, because they can't talk to the kid until September. Right. And by that point, they're full-fledged into football or soccer. So,
right.
It's one of those things that was a topic that got interesting on the Twitter sphere during last week. Another person said, by the name of Empress W. Lax, they said they've noticed a difference, but it is the rule. They will adapt and learn. The hardest part is where to spend your money. Camps, showcases, tournaments, and not knowing what coaches are thinking is the hardest part. There should be right. better communication between the coaches and the directors of the events. Which is true. I mean, it's one of those things where communication can be better. I think we will see that as the summer goes along with the new rules, right? You think so, Mike?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I mean, I guess from an out – not never having had anybody had a kid to send through the camp process, like – but that was a complaint or a concern that I had heard even years ago. It's, you know, there are so many places for – there's so many options for places for kids to go during the summer that it became that, like, where do I go? Like, where do I spend my money? Where do I send the kid? Where does the club program go? And I mean, cause there are, I mean, that, you know, June, July, August, I mean, it's really June, July it's cramped. I mean, there's many events going on every weekend. So, I mean, that is a complaint that I've heard for years and years. And I don't know how, you know, there's not a solve for it, to be honest. Cause I mean, I interviewed Coach Torpy, the head coach at High Point last year. And it was one of those, like, how do they decide? Because you only got a limited amount of coaching staff. And so they'll send a couple coaches. You know, you might have three coaches at three different events, but that's still only three events over the grand scheme of all of them. So I think it is tough. And I mean, I think you see a lot of events promote the fact what colleges have attended in the past that way, because that's kind of the differentiator in a lot of them. It's like, you know, you can't guarantee who's going to show up this year. But if you know who's shown up in the past, it just kind of shows, like, you know, we have a history of bringing in these coaches to go. So if you know you're interested in, like, D3, maybe there's, you know, an event that has way more, like, D3 coaches attending than another event. Like, if you just strictly want to focus on D1, maybe there's some events like that. So I think that's kind of, like, it does put it on the parent and the player to kind of do some research and maybe even reach out to some of the event directors and find out, like, hey, who's been there in the past? Like, we want to know. I mean, you're talking about spending several hundred dollars just to get into it and talk, and then, you know, maybe almost $1,000, depending on what the events are, to get there and spend a weekend, depending on, you know, if it's at a 1-day event, is it an overnight, is it 2-day, and how far you have to go. I mean, there's a lot of factors, and I mean, it's tough. I don't envy the parents and I don't envy the players, because, I mean, when you're trying to make these decisions, that's all stuff you got to weigh. But I think before you spend that money, I mean, I think the process, you have to start it soon.
Like, and I also think if you're a part of a club team and you're going through the club process to find the best events and to get your son or daughter recruited, you got to vet and make sure you're going with the right club and that they have your best interests at heart, you know, in terms of recruiting your child and making sure that they go to bat for that, your child, and go and talk to these coaches and make sure that they do have legit interest in your son and daughter, you know?
Right. Yeah. You definitely got to make sure before you put them in that program that, you know, it's, you know what you're doing. I mean, it just comes down to doing the research. I mean, and if like, one is, like, somewhat selfish, but I do have a listing of lacrosse camps on Lax Records that I'll also link to. But, you know, talking to a number of college coaches, like, that is probably, like, if you are interested, if you know there's a certain college, like, if you want to go to Duke, you want to go to Yale, you want to go University of Maryland, like, you want to go to one of those programs, like, I think the only way you can really guarantee to make sure those coaches see you is to attend one of the lacrosse camps. And I mean, the nice thing about a lot of those is it's usually not just the one school, that is attending. Like, usually a lot of coaches from the area, maybe the conference, mm-hmm. also have coaches at those. So you're not only getting seen by, you know, the University of Maryland, but you may be getting seen by Johns Hopkins. You may be getting seen by Syracuse. You may be getting seen by the other ones. And I mean, those coaches usually let people know, like, hey, here's who's planning to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think if you know, like, if you're focused, you know, I have a lot of the D1 schools listed at this point, but, you know, I'm more than happy. Like, it's one of those, like, same as anybody else. Like, there's so many camps. So if like D2, D3, NAIA schools want to list their camps as well, like, I'm welcome. I'm more than happy to list them, because from my perspective,
and JUCO,
if I can help, yeah, and yes, of course, and JUCO. Anybody who wants to know, like, because for me, it's giving the kids options. Like, it's almost, it could be paralyzed by choice, because there's so many options, and it could. But then again, if you know, like, hey, you know, I'm looking at these types of schools. So if I go to a D3 camp, I'm probably going to get seen by a bunch of D3, like at least a few D3 coaches. And that's kind of where I want to end up. And where, you know, it's like, yeah. So
now, as a recruiting coordinator for a junior college, I see it from both ways of trying to get the player to go transfer out of our school to a good school, and also bring in kids to come play for us. And I see it every day. And the one thing that I come away with is that you got to be, I'm not trying to tell parents or anyone how to spend their money, but I just want just to put the disclaimer out there, just to make sure you're spending it wisely, I guess.
Yep.
And just doing your homework before you spend the money that you want to spend in this game, and talk to people that are involved with recruiting and the sport, and just to make sure that you're being treated the right way, and that the people have your best interests at heart, you know, not just collecting your money and running, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I mean, there's no harm in real talk. I'll lay it out. Like, I've heard of stories in the past, and it's not just strictly lacrosse. I have a really good friend that covers high school soccer, and the sports are similar in that they're not the big money sports. You know, you don't get full scholarships. So, you know, depending on, I mean, the player has to be honest with themselves. The parents have to be honest with themselves. And that you have to know, like, all right, what level of college does my son have a shot to play? Mm-hmm. You have to be honest. Like, if they're a D2 or D3 player, that is awesome. But you can't be like, oh, they're going to go play for Duke. And if they're not that level, and you can spend as much money as you want to put yourself in front of Duke, but is it worth it? And also, it's one of those things, like, from my perspective, I'm like, because it's not a full scholarship sport, if you're aiming for the scholarship, do you really want that, to spend that money? You know, do you want to spend $7,000 on sending your son to these various camps,
right?
Or do you want to save it and be like, all right, we're going to give him $7,000. He wants to attend Duke. He's going to attend Duke. Because there's, like, I was actually talking to someone the other day. There was a player out of Illinois that no one had heard of. He had just gone to Duke because that's where he wanted to go, and he walked on, he played on the team. So, you know, it's not unheard of if you're interested in the school, if you're good at lacrosse, but if you get there else, you know, and by other means, then you still have a shot to play. So it's like, I think you're right. You need to kind of be wise on where you spend it, and just kind of sit down and be like, all right, you know, what do you want to, like, we ask your son, like, what do you want to do? Like, what are you thinking? And as long as it, you know, within the means. But I think, you know, I heard my buddy that does soccer. He told me a crazy story. He said a parent was telling her they $1,000 sending their daughter around to various camps one summer. And both of us were like, well, that's more than any scholarship she would ever get, because they don't, you're never going to get a $12,000 ship in girls soccer. And, you know, depending on what the share is for lacrosse, like, you're probably not getting a $12,000 scholarship for lacrosse. So if you're spending that much money, it's like, all right, well, are we better off just sending him to the school of his dreams and then letting him walk on somewhere? Or, you know, you spend some of that and just decide where you want to go. So it's just, it's a tough decision. Like I said, I don't envy anybody on having to make it, but you do kind of have to sit down and make some hard choices and just make some decisions. And I think it's better. It's like, I've always been an advocate for parents and for students. Like, find out where you want to be, and then, because you're going to be an you're going to be a person who works in the workforce, and you're going to be a student much longer than you're going to be an athlete.
Yeah.
So you got to be aware of that. But like, you got to go where you're going to be happier. You're going to enjoy your 4 years of college, and where you're going to have fun, and where you're going to create those memories and learn. And then you're going to carry that on much longer than you're ever going to be. I mean, you're not going to be a 60-year-old playing major league lacrosse, but you're probably going to still be doing something at that age. So you want to make sure you get something out of it.
Yeah, it all comes down to what the player wants to, you know, and what you guys can afford and what you want to, what that child wants to pursue in terms of major and stuff. And what, because those different schools for different majors that excel in different things and different areas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have kids that want to do engineering and kids that want to get into agriculture. And so you got to look for the schools that have those things for your son and daughter that want to pursue those things. And so you just want to make sure that you're doing your homework, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, as someone who attended, like, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I graduated high school. So I went to Frederick Community College. I spent a couple years at a community college, not as an athlete, but, you know, and obviously I work at a community college here in Illinois, and I see it all the time. Like, kids, they don't know what they really want to do. So they go to a JUCO or a community college and they figure it out. And then they go on and play somewhere else because they now know it's like, all right, you know, maybe they wanted to do agriculture and that's what they thought they wanted to do. And they were like, oh, you know, I really don't like that as much. Or, you know, I found this part much more interesting and you can learn. So, I mean, there's no options that are really off limits when it comes to the college choice. Like, if you decide, like, you know, I don't know what I want to do.
And Mike,
you're 18 years old. There's no shame in that.
And Mike, here's a little shameless plug for the JUCO side. When I tell my recruit, the parents of my recruits, that they can save a boatload of money just coming to play for us for 2 years. And we give them the number, their eyes open wide.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously that's a big thing too, is just, you know, how much money you can save. So, I mean, you know, I'm definitely an advocate for keeping your options open. And, you know, if you can get, you know, the big scholarship to go somewhere, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but for the kids who, you know, don't feel that pressure, like, oh, you know, I got to know what I want to do for the, you know, rest of my life. At 18, like, it's tough. Like, I didn't know. I could never tell anybody, but like, you have to make your decisions now. That's why, like, I'm glad they pushed the rule back, because I was thinking about, like, when the eighth graders were committing, I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, you're deciding what you're going to do for your 4 years after high school and you're not even in high school yet. Like, that's kind of nuts.
and I know it's something that you want to, like, gloat about with your friends and you want to feel proud about, but it's one of those things that it doesn't really look good at, like, in the grand scheme of things when you're committing as a still in middle school, you know.
Right.
And half these kids get to the school that they committed to back then, and now they're transferring to a different school and they're moving on somewhere else that they just wasn't a fit.
It was either, you know, and it could have been academically, it could have been athletically, it could have been, you know, maybe the coach that you really liked, and that's the other crazy thing, like, maybe the coach you committed to in eighth grade, maybe he's not there anymore. Like, then what do you do? Because, I mean, partly, like, as much as you want to say, like, you're committing to the program, I mean, parents are entrusting the college coaches to basically take care of their son for the next 4 years of their lives, and maybe that's not the guy that's there by the time they hit their senior year in high school if they're an eighth grader. So I think, you know, I know it's going to cause, like, there's a learning curve. It's not going to be without bumps, and there's not going to be things that don't have to be ironed out. But I think overall for the sport, for the player, for the parents, I think pushing the date back, it's overall going to be a good thing. Like I said, it's other sports do it. So I don't think it's not, you know, something so abnormal that no one's going to have any idea what's going on or how to navigate this. Like, there'll be resources out there for people to help.
And if you want to keep talking about this, hit us up on Twitter at the hashtag around the crease, or send me a direct message or email me at peacelacrosse@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to talk with you about more of this. And we'll have other topics next week and going forward on the show. But this was a good topic to start off with for us. And we got a lot of feedback from people. We still are, even to today. I threw this out earlier in the week, and I still have parents giving me their feedback on this new rule.
Yep, and exactly. And I'm at Lax Records, so you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram there. Use the hashtag Around the Crease if you have any questions, whether it's on this recruiting stuff or there's something else that you guys want us to cover, just to tell us how great a job that we're doing. So, but I know we could keep talking about this forever, but I think we'll wrap up now. Tom, just to kind of finish up, tell people where they can find. I know you mentioned the Twitter. Where else can they find you on the interwebs?
You can find my blog at peacereport.com, and at Peace Report Lax is my Twitter handle for the Peace Report Lax blog. And I'm also on Instagram if you're interested in checking out my information on there and photos from events at Be More Peace. And if you are interested in becoming a junior college all-star and stud, check us out at Harvard CCM.MLax. And that's it.
All right. And if for anybody who's curious, like, we're planning on doing this show. For now, we're planning on doing like once a week. We don't know how long each episode will be. We'll just kind of figure it out as we go, see what works, and we'll kind of see the feedback we get. But you can expect the episodes we do to drop on Monday. You can subscribe to us in whatever your favorite podcast player, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Podcasts, Overcast, whatever you use, we will be findable there. So for now, this is a wrap on episode one of Around the Crease season two. Thanks, Tom.
Have a good season. See you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.